which leads us to our next point. We are nearly through. And for just 10 minutes or so, I would like to reflect with you, and that Tony is your cue, reflect with you on 2018 and beyond. Where are we as a church? And where are we headed as a church? What's God's plan for us? And hopefully you still have sight of the A5 folded leaflet. And if you would like to turn page 2 of this handout, because there's a very brief summary of the our journey as a church, 2 years on. Year 1, we structured our thinking about church around John 15, and 3 themes emerged from John 15. They were love one another, building a strong community, abide in me, being rooted in the good news of Jesus, and bear fruit, sharing the love of Christ in word and deed. And they can be summarized in very short but helpful words in 3 directions. In, up, and out, as seen in this little graphic. And then last year, very much last year, was about shaping and communicating our vision as a church. And I would like to say a big thank you to everyone who has been involved in shaping the vision over the last year. We have several meetings called Leading a Church into Growth. The PCC and the leadership had some extra meetings. A smaller team wrestled with these in final shape, and then it went back to PCC. And so what we have here is a wonderful document that expresses the heart of this church, the direction of this church, where we are going. We pray like Jesus, we welcome like Jesus, and we share like Jesus. I love these 2 quotes, which are taken from the Oxford Diocese website. A good vision statement acts as a magnet, drawing people together around an agreed vision, and a compass pointing the direction of travel. And a clear vision statement helps a busy or a struggling church overcome the conflict of competing agendas. If a proposal won't help deliver the vision, it may not be a priority. I'm really excited about the result of our consultation, our thinking, our prayer. We pray, we welcome, we share like Jesus. This has so much potential. Are we there yet? No, of course we're not. Personally speaking, I know that I have a long way to go to pray like Jesus, to welcome like Jesus, and to share like him. And thank you to all those of you who have returned the vision response form that we've made available over the last 2 months. To date, I've received 48 response forms, and they've been really helpful. Encouraging things, questions, doubts, ticks on boxes saying, yes, I could help with this or with that. And so, how do we turn our vision into reality? Because it's no good, this document sitting on a shelf. And for the end of this meeting, just for the last minute, I want to give us 2 pointers. And I can give you the script at the end, so you don't have to run back. And the first one is, build capacity. One of the reasons why I put the list of tick boxes on the back of the response form was to find out which aspects of our ministry and mission people are drawn to. For example, if we already have, say, 8 people who would love to help pray for people during a Holy Communion service, let's not hang around. Let's get on with it. Let's start doing it. But equally, when there isn't a team yet to lead a ministry, we can't do it yet. And that is hard. Many have said how they miss the magazine, and I agree. There are hundreds of people we connect with through the magazine who do not come to church regularly. Janet Drain did a wonderful job for many years. Janet, thank you again. We thanked you when you stepped out, but thank you again for your wonderful work in ministry in the magazine. And now we're looking for a new editor. We've had 2 review sessions. We're quite encouraged by those review sessions, but we're looking for an editor and a bit of a team around them. We don't have that person yet. We keep working on it. Keep praying, please. So when you think or ask about any work of our church, why can't we do this or why can't we do that? Ask also the following questions. Is this part of our vision? And if the answer is yes, gifted and called to help in this. And it might be you. No vicar can absorb all the things that a church would like to do but can't find anyone else to do. I certainly can't. And I would also do a terrible disservice to you, because the church is the body of all believers, living stones, serving God together. We grow as we serve God. Now, there are some ministry areas in our church which are mainly the domain of ordained ministers, so things such as baptisms, weddings, funerals, Holy Communion, some aspects of pastoral work, and we are therefore this year looking for a second ordained minister to join our team. This could be a non-stipendiary minister who maybe lives in the area and can work for us a few days a week without having to draw a salary. It could be a house for duty minister for whom we would provide a house but not a salary. And that's the job advert which we will share over the next weeks. And please pray that God will already prepare the right person for us. Building capacity is also, as we'll see in your handout of the bullet points, is also about viewing our whole life as a chance to pray, to welcome and to share. In our families, with our neighbours, at the school gate, in our social club. This whole life ministry, which actually the Ladies' Life Group has thought about over the last term, will be a continuing theme for us. We're not going to change our communities, make a dent in the world for Jesus, by just doing our church-based activities. We won't. We actually need to get out there and live our lives among the people we're with. Finally, building capacity is about finding the right kind of ministry for each season in your life. Some of us are time poor, but can give more of their financial resources. Wonderful. Others have very little money to spare, and they can give their time. At some stage, you might have been actively involved in children's ministry, rolling around with the children on the floor and all the rest of it, and now you feel that's not really right for you anymore. Now you feel it's much better for you to make tea and chat with the parents. Do not let anyone tell you that you cannot serve God in your current life situation. No one is beyond serving God, whatever stage of life you're in. As I mentioned earlier in the service, last week 12 of us went to Spring Harvest. Carol and Janet, who are both here, went to a seminar that really encouraged them. And so Janet, you very kindly said you'd be happy to say a few words about that particular seminar. So could you join me here in front? It's so wonderful. We went to a different seminar. And you and Carol came back from that particular seminar and said, oh, we went to such a good seminar. It was so exciting. I said, you need to tell me more about it. So, tell us all about it. What was it?
It was called Effective Empowered Seniors. That's us. And the talk said, old age is not a mistake in God's life design. He planned it on purpose. This seminar describes that purpose and how to step out of the mindsets that prevent us achieving it and into those that do. And the main thing that came across was that us more senior people have got so much to give the younger ones because we've had the life experience. And at one point, she suggested we took up knitting, which Carol and I just loved that. And it was just amazing. It made me feel 10 years younger. It did.
Thank you, Janice. Thank you. It's so exciting when you discover God has a role for me. In his plans. I'm not too old. I'm not useless. I have skills and gifts. I'm not too fill in the gap that you might sometimes say about yourself. The reason why you think you're no good to God and his church. I'm not too old. I'm not too stupid. I'm not too sick. I'm not too whatever. God needs each one of us. God has a vision for his church, and he has a vision for your life. That's why you're here. So that's the first point, build capacity. The second point is select a few. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get completely overwhelmed by the many charities that ask me to support them. And where do I start? I can't even start because I can never do justice to this. Maybe you sometimes have a sense that there are so many people in church on Sunday that you don't know where to start, or you don't know anymore. Someone said a wise thing out of your heart. Take a brave step towards what you can do, not a guilty step back. Take a brave step towards what you can do, not a guilty step back. What will that mean for us as a church? Firstly, if you're feeling you're doing too much and you're drowning in commitments, just pray. Maybe chat to a good friend. Review your commitments. And then select the few things that God is asking you to do. Secondly, instead of wondering how you can share the good news of Jesus with the many people you know, choose a handful and decide to pray for them regularly. And then ask God to show you opportunities to share God's love with them. Thirdly, join a life group. I'm going to say that quite often to you over the next year. Join a life group. There are over 7,000 people living in our parish. And of course it would be ludicrous to say, sorry, we don't welcome new people anymore because we are already struggling to remember everyone's name. I hope you find that fun. This is ridiculous. Instead, let's join a group of about 6 to 14 people who meet regularly to grow in faith and friendship. As of next week, we have 3 such groups in our church, and as they grow, we'll start more groups. We want to give every member of this church the opportunity to join a life group. And I know that already can see it. This will transform the life of our whole church. Finally, over the years, our church has added more and more charities to the list of groups that we support regularly. And they're all good, they're all doing good work. And I bet most of us don't even know all of them or that we support them. Having relationships with mission organizations on a local, on a national, and on an international level is so important for us as a church. And I believe that selecting a few will give us a chance to build a close relationship with them, to hear from them on a regular basis, to send people from our church to experience firsthand what they do, to pray for them specifically. And therefore, our PCC have chosen a list of 5 mission partners which operate locally, nationally, and internationally. That doesn't mean we won't support others at certain times of the year. And of course, we also welcome that individual church members will support charities of their choice. But we have selected these 5 to build a strong relationship with, and we will review the list at regular intervals. You see the list on your handout, I'm not going to run through them, but they are all charities that have grown out of the life of this church, and that are really good mission works of God in different ways. We are seeking to appoint at least 1 link person for each of these 5 to stay in touch with them and our church. And if you have a strong affinity with one of them, please do talk to me. And so as I finish, let me very briefly put 3 important projects on the map for the next 12 to 18 months. Firstly, we've begun to review our buildings, our needs now and our needs in the future, and what we'll have to do that our buildings meet our needs. And that's the reason why we have delayed plans to install a disabled loom at St Mark's in favour of a more comprehensive review to make sure we get it right. Secondly, we will begin this year a review of all our worship services to find out whether they adequately express our vision and how we might develop them. Watch this space. And thirdly, to reach out to our local communities, because there's not just 1 community in them, there are communities of all sorts. To reach out to them with God's love, it's essential that we know what their needs are. It's essential. otherwise. And so this will be an ongoing project with different components, different building blocks, and we'll keep you up to date, and we need your help with that. One tiny building block is a seminar that I, and hopefully one or two other members of the PCC, will be going to in about 10 days' time. It's a day seminar on how, as a local church, we can work with the travel community. And I don't have to tell you that it's God has given us these people right in our midst. He loves them, and we want to work with them. Thank you for being a part of this church. Thank you for taking the time today to come to this annual meeting. God is writing his story here in Dillon, and he invites us to be a part of it. And I feel expectation about what God is going to do with us and through us in the following years. But of course, the best mission action plan will come to nothing if we do not become more Christ-like as we implement it. That's why it's so important that we think currently about the fruit of the Spirit. And that's why all our activities need to be grounded in prayer. And so in a moment when we close, we're going to pray the leading of church's growth prayer, which you'll find on the back of this little leaflet. And then as we finish the prayer, I would love you to turn around, because it's become a bit of a tradition to take the annual parochial church meeting photograph. And I think Ella volunteered this year to take it. I hope it's all set up better. So we stand, we pray, we look up to Ella on the church balcony, and we give her our best smile. And then have a wonderful rest of the Sunday. Shall we stand? So, let's have a moment quiet, and then we pray this prayer that starts God of Mission. Let's pray together. God of Mission, who alone brings growth to your church, send your Holy Spirit to give vision to our plan, wisdom to our actions, and power to our beliefs. Help our church to grow in numbers, in spiritual commitment to you, and in service to our local community, through Jesus Christ our Lord.